Testing, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Well, let me do the introduction now. Hi, my name is Josh.
They call me Weasel.
Hi, this is Laura.
This is Sergeant Furman Campbell.
My name is Joseph G. Pine.
You're listening to Radio Diaries. Joe Richmond here. Before we get started with this story, which happens to be one of my favorites, I'm going to make a pitch. This podcast is free, and we love that it's free. The more people who hear it, the better. But our stories take a lot of work and money to put together. So I'm asking you, our listeners, our community, to really be part of what we do and to chip in. We have a lot of great stories we want to produce this coming year, and we need your help to do it. So please go to radiodiaries.org and click donate. It will feel great. Now, today's story, a guitar, a cello, and the day that changed music. On November 23rd, 1936, two men sat down in front of a microphone and began to play. These two men could not have been more different. One was a cello prodigy who had performed for the Queen of Spain. The other played guitar in the juke joints of the Mississippi Delta. This is the sound of one of the world's greatest classical cellists and probably the most legendary blues guitarist of all time, jamming together. Of course, it didn't really happen. Not like that, anyway. Pablo Casals and Robert Johnson were an ocean apart. But on the same day in 1936, they both made recordings that would change music history.
I first met Robert in 1936, same year he recorded. He wasn't famous at the time, just a quiet man, played guitar. My name is Honey Boy Edwards. I'm a guitar player and I play the blues. Back in them days, on a Saturday night, everybody would go up to that roadhouse, right down 61 Highway, have music, have barbecue, white whiskey, and we all started playing the blues together. That old boy sure could play a guitar.
My name is Bernard Greenhouse. I'm a cellist. I was one of the early students of Casals, and I spent a lot of time working on the Bach suites with him. Pablo Casals was one of the greatest musicians of all time.
My name is Paul Eli, and I'm the author of Soundabout, Reinventing Bach.
My name is Scott Ainsley. I'm a blues guitarist, and I wrote a book on Robert Johnson's work called Robert Johnson at the Crossroads.
My name is Billy Gibbons. I'm the guitar player for ZZ Top.
November 23rd, 1936. Robert Johnson goes into a hotel room which has been fashioned into a recording studio.
They recorded in the Gunther Hotel, San Antonio, Texas.
The record companies brought people from all over the West and Southeast to come and record. Gospel musicians, string bands, polka bands. I mean, they were just recording everybody. And so Robert Johnson's recording session was sandwiched in between a bunch of hillbillies and a bunch of sisters who played Mexican guitar music.
As the story goes, Robert Johnson was so shy, they allowed him to turn his back to the engineers so that he wouldn't be intimidated by the whole procedure.
He settled down, facing into a corner, tuned up his guitar, and at some point they give him a signal to begin, and Robert Johnson starts to play.
The way his hand struck the strings, this was just one guy, one guitar, meat on metal on wood.
I got a kind-hearted woman, anything is worth for me.
On that same day, Pablo Casals walked into a studio in London. Abbey Road Studios was billed as the most advanced recording studio in the world. The technicians wore white lab coats, all the equipment was stainless and polished. So there he was, sitting in a chair. He was 60 years old, and ready to make the recording that in some respects he'd been waiting all his life to make. He put his bow to the strings and began to play.
It was very difficult to get a recording in those days. They were on wax, the old recordings. There was no tape which could be cut. You couldn't patch a bad place. You couldn't play a run and have one note in the run missing and put it in later. You were alone with your cello.
There was an electronic light that they would turn on when you had to tie up the tune before they ran out of wax. 3 minutes. That's how much time you've got on a 10-inch wax disc. Earlier recordings made by other bluesmen record a slice of a juke joint performance that might go on for 12 or 15 minutes. Verse, 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 and then cut off partway through because they'd run out of wax. Johnson had listened to enough 78s, so he knew how long a record was. And so he crafted his songs with tighter lyrics and a better sense of telling the story.
3 minute songs. And Robert Johnson can sketch these incredible dramas of sin and redemption, struggle and loss. And you feel a world being drawn before your eyes.
You better come on in my kitchen. Cause it's going to be raining outdoors.
Blues is like a story. You say, I woke up this morning, my baby was gone. So I wonder which way did my baby go, you know what I mean? It's a simple thing, but you got to understand music. If you don't understand, you'll never be nothing good.
Pablo Casals discovered the cello suites as a boy in a dusty music store in Barcelona. For a long time, the suites were not an important work, a concert work. They were considered exercises, a way for cellists to learn how to play the cello better. There was something methodical about them. Casals was astonished by this. He played the cello suites and said, "These were supposed to be so cold. How could anyone consider this music cold?" Nobody thinks that anymore.
Back in them days, the musicians, they just pick up a guitar and play just like a mule trotting down the road. But they didn't have nothing to sweeten the song up, nothing at all. But Robert, he had a different style with the guitar.
That thumping boogie-woogie piano bass, ding da ding da ding da ding, and the chiming chords in the high part over a sustained boogie-woogie bass line, Robert Johnson figured out how to do that with one guitar rather than two. Whereas everybody else might have a rhythm guitarist banging along and then play the fancy stuff on top and sing, Robert could do it all.
I love my baby. My baby don't love me.
He had mastered a way of playing that went far beyond what anybody else was doing from the Delta at that time. It's downright befuddling. And this leads to the famous tale of Robert Johnson meeting the devil at the crossroads. Because, man, he must have gone somewhere and did something.
November 23rd, 1936 was a good day for recorded music. Pablo Casals had recorded two Bach cello suites. Robert Johnson had recorded two takes of eight different songs. An hour in London, an hour in Texas. And those 2 hours are as perfect a 2 hours of music as anyone has ever recorded.
After he recorded, his record was on every jukebox in the city. You could hear Tailplant Blues, Hellhounds on My Trail, Come On In My Kitchen. His stuff was out everywhere, and he got had a lot of hit numbers at that time.
I believe my time ain't long.
A couple years later, in 1938, he got killed. He had been messing around with a juke joint owner's wife in a joint outside of Greenwood, Mississippi, and somebody passes him some kind of poison in a bottle of whiskey. And that's the end of Robert Johnson. He was 27.
Pablo Casals, who was already famous, became more famous than ever. He played at the White House, became a darling of the Kennedy administration. He lived into his 90s. And if there's one work by which he was known, it was his recording of the Bach cello suites. In some ways, the iconic classical recording of the 20th century. Meanwhile, Robert Johnson's recordings were pretty much forgotten.
Almost nobody knew who Robert Johnson was until 1961, when the first reissue came out on Columbia Records.
Everybody stopped in their tracks, just like, whoa.
I went to the crossroads.
Robert Johnson songs were covered by Eric Clapton.
Robert Plant and Jimmy Page with Led Zeppelin.
And of course, the Rolling Stones. The list goes on and on. Robert Johnson's small handful of recordings inspired everybody at that time. Well, it's what inspired ZZ Top's LaGrange. Rumors spreading round in that Texas town about that shy cow on the side of LaGrange. You know what I'm talking about. But as many times as a Robert Johnson number has been covered and re-recorded and reinterpreted, no one has yet recaptured what guitar players would refer to as that internal DNA. You can get the same guitar, you can probably go back to the same hotel room, but delivering it like Robert Johnson did in 1936, forget about it. It's not going to happen. That's what Robert Johnson left us with. Yeah.
I have been playing the Bach suites for pretty close to 80 years. I've played them this morning. But as old as I am and as much success as I've had, when I turn that record on and I listen to the old recording of Casals, I can still realize my own failings because he was the one who made it into a language. And basically, that's what music is. It's a language which transcends all people and all parts of the world. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's Robert Johnson or Pablo Casals, whether you do it with the Bach suites or you do it with a guitar. That's what we all try to do, make a language of music, a language which is almost understandable, word for word.
This story originally aired on NPR's All Things Considered in 2011. The music you're hearing right now is a mashup imagining Pablo Casals and Robert Johnson jamming together. It was put together by our friend and producer Brendan Baker. Thanks to all the folks you heard in this story, author Paul Eli, who led us to this idea, musician Scott Ainsley, and of course, Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top. I want to give a special shout-out to blues guitarist Honeyboy Edwards and cellist Bernard Greenhouse, who you heard in the story. These men could not have been more different. Honeyboy Edwards lived in a modest row house on the south side of Chicago, which he kept heated to about 90 degrees. He spent most of our interview lying on his bed smoking weed. Bernard Greenhouse preferred martinis and oysters at his home in Wellfleet on Cape Cod. Both men were remarkable musicians who continued to perform into their 90s. And both of them, Honeyboy Edwards and Bernard Greenhouse, died not long after we interviewed them for this story. Our story was produced by Samara Freemark and myself and edited by Deborah George and Ben Shapiro. The Radio Diaries podcast is produced by Sarah Kate Kramer. If you like what you hear, tell your friends about the podcast and give us a review on the iTunes store. And if you really like our work, please consider making a tax-deductible donation to keep this podcast free. Just go to radiodiaries.org and click Donate. If you do it before the end of the year, we have a bunch of holiday goodies for you, including that classic public radio stocking stuffer, the tote bag. I'm Joe Richman. Thanks for listening. You can't make the winter be this dry long so. You better come on in my kitchen. Oh, this come